Leaders of both the House and Senate pledged to move quickly on legislation to help the Veterans Affairs Department treat the more than 100,000 vets who are either waiting months for medical appointments or who have been unable to see a doctor at all. Now, at a House hearing late last night, a top VA official apologized for the delays. He called them indefensible. The Hill's Martin Matichak was there, and he joins us now to discuss prospects for legislation and the VA's future. Martin, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, there's been a lot of new information to come out about the problems at the VA. Can you just give us a short summary of them?
Sure. Well, yesterday saw the release of a White House-mandated audit of the entire VA healthcare system from across the country, about 700-plus facilities. And as you said, it found that more than 100,000 vets were waiting for care. Of those, 57,000 were waiting at least 90 days to see a doctor for the very first time, and an additional 63,000 patients over the last decade never got that first appointment for whatever reason. And that was just some of the revelations that came about in the audit.
And tell us a little bit about this hearing that you had. First of all, it was the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Never a big fan of the VA to start with. What was the tone when they had learned this news just hours before?
Deeply skeptical and also angry. I'd have to say a majority of the panel, Democrats and Republicans, now want to see a criminal investigation into these alleged wrongdoings. And then just overall skepticism. A lot of congressmen and women just sort of raising their eyebrows. There's one Congress member from Texas who said that he had a letter just dated last month from a VA official who said that a clinic in his district had no veterans waiting for care. Well, the audit that came out yesterday found that veterans at that clinic were usually waiting around 60 to 70 days for that first appointment, one of the worst stats waiting times in the entire country.
It does seem like someone at the VA or several people at the VA have been hoodwinked. Are you beginning to see a picture of how this could have gone on for so many years and so systematically?
I think we're still getting into that a little bit. I think a problem that was identified in last night's hearing by some of the VA officials is that some of the goals that the VA had were standard goals across the entire country and across the entire facility, and that just isn't reasonable. As for instance, in the audit, it says this 14-day goal for setting up that first appointment with a veteran is simply unattainable. And in light of that, the VA has now eliminated that. That goal was actually set up by previous VA Secretary Eric Shinseki, but now that's been gone. So the VA is, to use some phrases being used last night, getting back to basics, and they're just sort of reinventing the wheel in terms of how they do healthcare and how they schedule appointments.
And in terms of the 14-day wait time and other goals, is Congress taking the blame for some of this and its push to have VA see as many as in a good-natured push, we pushed to have VA see as many patients as possible?
I think Congress recognized that somehow this happened on their watch. I think towards the end of last night's hearing, which wrapped up just shy of midnight, some of the members...
Well, thank you for being here this morning.
Oh, no problem, no problem. I'm a morning person. Some of the members last night, admitted we failed on the job, that it was a kind of collective failure by Congress, by the VA, by the media not paying attention to this. It's a wide dispersal of blame going around right now.
And in terms of the specific people at the VA who did things such as fake schedule people when, in fact, they hadn't scheduled patients at all, have any of those people been punished?
There haven't been too many firings yet. I think some folks have been removed. But there's the audit, and then there's this whole other investigation that's also going on by the VA's Inspector General. He's looking at around 70 facilities across the country, digging in a little bit more, seeing what other wrongdoing might have been, and if criminal charges are in fact warranted. The audit itself that came out yesterday flagged, I want to say, around 100, 110 facilities that needed further scrutiny or further look to see what exactly was going on, where the errors are being made.
We're speaking with Martin Matichak, and he's a staff writer for The Hill. Now, let's talk a little bit about what Congress plans to do about this. First of all, were any results to come from that oversight hearing yesterday?
The head of the committee, Jeff Miller out of Florida, has introduced some emergency legislation. He actually introduced it right before the hearing was gaveled into order, that would expand care for veterans, allow them to go to more private physicians. But it's worth noting that last month, the House overwhelmingly passed a VA accountability bill that would grant the VA secretary new power to fire officials responsible for mismanagement, such as sexual harassment or bullying. So now that this audit just came out, this week, at least in the House, we'll probably see more piecemeal legislation from lawmakers reacting to the news and saying, what did we miss in that bill that passed last month? And I think that's what Congressman Miller is going for with the last night's bill.
And us being Federal News Radio, we've talked a lot about that bill that did pass and about some apparent problems with it, such as the fact that it flies in the face of other bills pertaining to the merit system of the federal employees and the fact that it might not fly. It might contradict even with the Constitution. Do you get the sense with that bill and also the new one that Jeff Miller has just introduced that these are actually true solutions, or that Congress is simply grasping at something that perhaps sounds good, but when it's actually put into action might run into further problems?
That's a good question. I think that they just recognize that they're under enormous pressure to do something right now, and that, you know, we're seeing all these problems throughout the VA through the audits, through the Inspector General reports and others, that something drastic has to be done. And this is just the Republican solution to it, is to kind of, I don't want to say dismantle, but take away some of the protections that senior officials had at the VA. Because if the system that we have now, I think their thinking goes, if the system we have now isn't going, let's try something new. And it's important to point out that there is also a Senate bill that could be voted on as soon as this week that would allow senior officials to be removed, but would give them an appeals process to go through.
Okay, so that's a little different. And that seems to be a more, frankly, a more perhaps deliberative process. Isn't that the one that Bernie Sanders, head of the Senate VA committee and an independent, introduced and then was working with John McCain, an Arizona Republican, to finalize before officially introducing it?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. It was a compromise legislation that came about last week. In fact, last week, Bernie Sanders, as you mentioned, said, I'm going to introduce a bill. The next day, John McCain said, well, I have a bill too. The next day, they announced they were working together. And then on last week Thursday, they said, we've reached a compromise. So the bill itself was unveiled late last night. The legislative text is now out and available. And we could see a vote this week. I know that Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid wants to see a vote as quickly as possible, so we could see a vote on this possibly before lawmakers leave again.
Okay, so with the Senate considering that one, the House doing its variety of bills, how do the two solutions that seem to be coming forward match up between what the Senate is working on the House?
Well, as I mentioned, there is the expedited appeal or the appeals process in the Sanders bill. There's also more spending in the Sanders bill for nurses and doctors and construction and leasing of VA facilities. So something going forward is, if this does pass the Senate, if the Sanders-McCain bill does pass the Senate, it might have to be conferenced with the House bill so that the appoint negotiators sit around a table and negotiate how to make these two bills fit together. And then, you know, both chambers will have to vote all over again. So Congress recognizes that they're under a microscope right now. There's enormous public pressure, especially in the wake of the audit and Shinseki's resignation, other things. There's enormous public pressure to do something, but they aren't there yet. They're on lap three of a four-lap race, if you will.
How is the elections impacting this? Is it giving them more of an impetus to act, or to perhaps, unfortunately, to delay it so it can be a hot-button issue?
Oh, no, I think both parties want to see action right away. In fact, before the Sanders bill came out, Marco Rubio out of Florida was pushing what the House had done, the VA accountability bill that you guys have talked about as well. He was pushing that exact same legislation in the Senate, and he had attracted about close to a dozen Democratic lawmakers to his cause. Many of them looked to be in tough reelection bids, such as Kay Hagan of North Carolina, Mark Warner out of Virginia, and others. So people want to see this done. They recognize their is an impetus to get this done, and I don't think anyone wants to make this a bad vote before the election.
And perhaps one of the quickest things that Congress could do is just to give the VA more money to, as you said, perhaps hire nurses or doctors or just do something. But how willing do lawmakers seem to do that?
Well, based on last night, not very. In fact, at one point, the VA officials were asked, where the heck has the money been going? So I think that was actually a main point of contention in the Senate negotiations, was how much things would cost. But, you know, the Sanders bill would put $500 million towards hiring more doctors and nurses, and that comes from unobligated funds, funds that rolled over from last year. That's how they're able to pay for it. But last night in the House side, they're very cautious about spending any money, especially on new IT, new facilities. You know, members are citing studies from their own districts that show how many patients a physician sees in a given day at a VA clinic, and then comparing that how it works in the private practice, that, you know, it's usually more, something along those lines. So I'd have to say in the Senate side, there's some give, but in the House, it's going to be a very tough sell for the VA to get more money going forward.
Martin Matichak is a staff writer with The Hill. Martin, thanks so much, and we'll be keeping in touch with you as this goes along.
Thank you for having me.